I love being different. I love being weird. I've always, ever since I was a kid, wanted to make the world different. I don't know how I came into the world knowing that the world wasn't the way that I want it. And I would do things to make this strange reality my own reality, regardless of what other people thought. For example, small example is I love changing the words, the correct words of things. And an example of that would be something along the lines of instead of saying caveat, saying caviar. I know that that's not the correct thing to say, but there's something about disrupting the norm, disrupting the reality. And in the concepts of reality transurfing, which is a book written by an astrophysicist named Vadim Zelin, I highly recommend any content on reality transurfing. There's a concept called pendulum disruption, and that is responding in a way that chaos isn't expecting. It neutralizes what that chaos was trying to do, and that could be in an argument or just, people saying, like, I'm fine, I'm good, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? I'm super magical. When I used to respond that way, I always got very powerful, delightful responses most of the time. And I would very, very, very rarely find somebody giving me that look askance, that weird look. And I love that. It may be a control thing, or it may be a weirdo thing, but I own that and I claim that because it makes me happy, and I've seen the positive response that ripples out around me. And if more people were to not be afraid of being weird, I think we'd all have a lot more fun during this show unraveling on Earth right now. Welcome back to Wake Up and Smell the Miracles. My name is Jonathan Navi, your ever grateful host, reminding you that a miracle is not an exception to the rule, but the natural order of things. When miracles don't happen, that's the exception. Allow yourself to begin to realize that you are miraculous. You are magical. Nothing is too good to be true. Nothing. Zero. Zip. It's all true, and it's all for you. Let's get started. Welcome back. It is such a pleasure to be with you today and to speak on something that I've always been passionate about, but also have been a little tentative to speak to. And that's about reality architecture, reality creation. It is expecting miracles. I know that it's fun to listen to and fun to talk about, but how practical can anybody be when it comes to quote unquote crafting their own reality? How much control do we really have, and how does that fit in with the idea that you must surrender? Surrender and allow the universe to flow through you, work for you, and make things happen. There's a lot of contradiction in the words that we use, and we're going to address all of these things with joy, zest, and enthusiasm. Hold up, wait, for the magic that be trying to flow through, we gone play. Now, let me interrupt this episode around reality creation, because as I started recording this episode, I had a thought, I had an impulse, an idea that came straight through to my heart and soul and my mind. And that was that I would love to have a guest like no other guest on this particular episode to discuss the topic of reality creation. And that guest is none other than Chandra Nicole. Chandra Nicole is an incredible human being, a healer, a transformational coach. Her repertoire goes vast and deep, and I have known her for decades, centuries, eons, all the goods. And in this physical incarnation,
I do believe we met around 2012, 2013, and sparked a friendship that is incomparable. Her story is inspiring, to say the least. Her philosophies are groundbreaking. She's truly a catalyst for change. And the way that she lives her life and owns it is something that I aim to march to the music of as well, be it my own music. But I really appreciate this human being. I reached out to her. She is 14 hours ahead of me in the time zone that I'm in. And what we did was record our very first live episode on Instagram Live on the Wake Up and Smell the Miracles channel. And that was a first. The first live episode around reality creation, the first live episode on Wake Up and Smell the Miracles, and also the first long distance guest, because all my guests so far have been in person, and I am really excited to share this interview with you. I'm just going to let it rip, let it play, and I'll come catch up with you at the end of the episode. Again, this is going to be a two-parter, so there'll be room for intermission. Get yourself some popcorn, get yourself some pop, and we'll come back to it and just have a blast. One last caveat around reality creation as we go forth with the recorded audio that you're about to listen to. There is a tiny bit of feedback in the interview, and this is my spin on it. This is my version of what's happening with the feedback, because it's all a gift. Why is this great? Why is this happening? Because it's great. Why is this good? Because it allows us to play with our creativity, and here's how I'm playing with it. Imagine that Chandra is speaking from a coliseum, and that is the echo that you're hearing. And we are all privy to catching these gems that are streaming through her channel. And we all get to be witnesses to it. On top of that, I do believe there are no accidents. Everything's intentional, especially when you think that there's been a mistake at hand. No. When part of what is being said is cut off, that is on purpose. It was designed like that from the universe so that your subconscious could filter through here and there and make the connections necessary in your neural pathways in order to get the seeds and the philosophies and ideas that you are supposed to. And that's the beauty of listening to something over and over again. You then have the ability to catch something that you didn't catch before. So with that, sit back and enjoy this episode of Wake Up and Smell the Miracles. This is the first live episode. This is like Saturday Night Live, but Wake Up and Smell the Miracles. And on top of that, it is the first time I have a live long-distance guest with us. And that guest happens to be none other than Chandra. Chandra will be joining us here in just a few moments. And just to tell you a little bit about Chandra, she is a phenomenal human being that I've known for, I would say, upwards of a couple centuries. Hi, Chandra.
A couple centuries, for sure.
Yep, for sure, regardless of how much when we actually met, which happened to be digitally. And we met in Santa Barbara when we were both there locationally. And then we went on adventures, our own personal adventures that crossed over and allowed for just a magnificent friendship to flourish. Chandra, you're somebody that I highly respect and look up to. I get your emails and they are always fire. Like it's hard for me not to screenshot some of the stuff that you say, and I try to promote the stuff that really like resonates with my soul. I'm like, people need to know Chandra Nicole. So Chandra, welcome.
Hi, Jonathan. How's it going?
Pretty phenomenal. Super excited and a little giddy and all that stuff to have you live.
That's
is 10 p.m. Right?
Yep.
It is 10 p.m. on Thursday in California, in Santa Barbara right now. Tell me, what time and what day is it where you're at?
It is 12 noon. In Bali, on what day is it? Friday?
Yeah!
Friday.
Which means you are literally in my future.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
the future.
This is real life time travel.
I know. Back to the future. It's real.
Oh no. Oh no. Don't bring it back to the future.
When you mentioned our travels, that's why I was left. I was like, oh my god, I got all giddy because I was thinking about Back to the Future.
Yeah. For those everybody that wasn't there, 2014, I happened to do a reenactment, kind of like Drunk History, except I was completely sober, of the first Back to the Future movie, and Chandra recorded about half of it. And
did I record it?
You did. I may have a clip somewhere. Ooh, maybe that'll be the bonus for this episode.
Yeah. I need to see that.
Yeah, it was audio. It was audio. It's somewhere.
Oh, audio.
Yeah. So Chandra, I asked you to come on here because I actually started recording the next episode for Wake Up and Smell the Miracles around reality creation. And as soon as I started talking, I start off with a story about how I've always felt that the world was different, and I've always had this stubbornness to keep it different. I will not accept a lot of the things that are culturally acceptable in our world. And there's little unique ways that I've had since I was a child, and not till I became, you know, 20, 25 years old that I actually started incorporating consciously these things so that my reality reflects something that I enjoy being in.
Mm-hmm.
And you are somebody that I have seen completely transform your reality into a glorious amalgamation of what is true and right in your heart. And I really want our listeners to get this message and this conversation. Like I like to say, whatever happens, happens.
Mm-hmm.
So just going to ask your permission, because our filter is always off. Can we talk about anything?
We can talk about anything. What do you want to talk about?
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a small example of shaping and crafting reality and transforming into who we are as we're in constant transformation. You know, I am exercising, like, being okay, being embarrassed, and just being transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time where we were both technically homeless. We had cars or friends' couch to sleep on. We used alcohol as a form to cope. You know, I'm
mm-hmm.
speaking for myself, and I don't want to speak for you.
Yeah.
But I remember going to Taco Bell on the Mesa in Santa Barbara with you, and like sneaking in like whatever alcoholic beverage we had. I think you had a michelada, and I had my secret kombucha, which was just vodka.
Oh my god.
Two, many years later, and choosing a conscious path and leaving that behind, the need to drink, I'm living in a multi-million dollar home.
Mm-hmm.
I am engaged. I am moving. I am building a family. I don't surprise Chandra.
I didn't know any of this stuff.
Surprise! This is reality.
That's amazing.
And just achieving another level of life. And I want you to share like what your level of life is at the moment, and feel free to share your journey.
Oh my god. That's such like a broad question. I don't know what part of my journey you want me to share, but
well, just share the contrast of how we were somewhere, you were somewhere, to where you are. This, I don't want to assume that you're fulfilled, but you glow.
Yeah, it's been you know, a process of do you have feedback for me?
I don't.
Okay, good. It's just on my end. That's good. It's been a process of just acknowledging more and more and more and more and more of what it is that I actually truly desire, and what actually fulfills me, and actually reclaiming all of my power from all of the things, right? I actually, you know, I went to the extreme. I had the same extreme where I was like homeless and drinking a lot and all of that. And then I got sober, and I ended up meeting the love of my life. Lived in Colorado with him for a while. We ended up living in a $1.5 million oceanfront condo together, traveled the world, right? And it was amazing. It was incredible. And also, at the same time, I was going through a dark night of the soul. So what I discovered, I always thought back when I was, you know, really struggling to get by, I always thought that if I could get things, you know, like if I could have a successful business and make the monies, you know, like business was doing well, have the man, whatever, which was weird because I had done the whole traditional marriage thing before and I realized that my happiness wasn't there. But I thought, like, I'm doing spiritual work, right? I'm doing the spiritual work, and from the spiritual work, if I acquire these things, then I'm going to be set. You know what I mean? This is going to be it. It just wasn't.
You didn't get your trophy in the mail?
What?
You didn't get your trophy in the mail?
No, you did it.
No.
And so I realized that I had more, not more work to do, but I became very aware that I was still putting my happiness in things outside of me. And even like my happiness, sort of like spiritual identity that I'd created. It was almost like I released myself from one matrix, you know, this like traditional Midwestern life into a little bit more fancier sounding.
The fancier matrix.
Yeah, I went from smaller matrix to fancier matrix. And so, like, the last year specifically has just really been a process of full reclamation of power, you know, like really getting lucid in my dream of life, understanding that there is no power outside of me, period, right? So that's been my journey, and it's been amazing. Like all the things are wonderful. You know, I mean, I love all the things, and I love the homes, and I love the money, and I love the relationship, and all of that. But it will never be sustainable, the answer, right? And that's what I found. When you find what you're looking for, the holy grail, right? Unconditional, like, it doesn't matter what the fuck's going on in my reality, I'm good, me, then all the stuff comes to add, right? It comes to add to you and who you're being. That's what I've been on a process of over the years and many different, because like what I has been committed to first above all else is freedom, right? And for a long time, I thought that was lifestyle, right? Like, if I can have a lifestyle that's free, you know, like, do what I want, when I want, where I want it, then I'd be free. And my understanding of freedom has been evolving over time.
What kind of coach are you? Are you a freedom coach, or?
I've called myself that before in the past. Now, specifically, I'm working with spiritual creative entrepreneurs. Basically, like, what I love. So there's this whole conversation about create your reality. We do. Life is but a dream. You know, miracles are normal. I love that. I love your intro, by the way. And what I've been sharing until now has been very general, in a sort of a general scope, who I've always worked with in private capacity for spiritual creative entrepreneurs. So basically what I do is I take these principles and apply them in a very practical way in business, right? So you could say it's kind of like the metaphysics of marketing, sales, and service.
Okay.
Helping people understand the energy, you know, and the core of it is understanding that you are the source, like you're the source of your world. You're the source of your message. You're the source of your clients. You're the source of your cash. Everything expresses outwardly from you. Which in business, a lot of times we try to get things this way, right? And we can set up business in a way where it's sort of like very utilitarian. I'm going to create this so that I can get money, so that I can get clients, right? And it works, you know, that way, just like our life, right? Like I'm going to get the house and the man and the money and everything, and I'm going to be happy. Doesn't work that way. Not sustainably. It might for a while, right? But not sustainably. And we did the same thing with business, you know, as I could have done it. And so I like to help entrepreneurs take these, like, sustainable reality creation principles, right? And express their almost like an artistic version of self, right? Where you become the money, you become the client, you become the expression of the business, right? And that's when stuff starts happening magically, right?
I love the magic. You said something that really resonated with me, where I got a visual of how instead of the things, you get so grounded in who you are and the intrinsic value that you're here to share with the world. That for me, in my journey, it's been like also not caring about the things. Like, you know, do the spiritual work. Once I get that done, I'm set. But really, yeah, getting so good in here that you will be shakeable but not destroyed, because everything else, the money and the house and the girl and everything, just colors your life. You know, and it's interesting to talk about freedom, where for almost 2 years I've been in the men's work arena as a student. And one of the things that I have heard over and over again is that the more commitments a man makes, the more free he actually is. Where walking around feeling like, oh, I'm not attached to anything, you're flowy, you're actually less free. And once you work on what you actually want and who you are, and that's what I'm passionate about, who you are, self-expression will give you everything else and add the perfect shades and contours to the life that you desire.
Yeah, it's like that thing that you're talking about, you know, you're just unwilling to commit to anything. It's actually a victim mentality. I did it as well, right? It's like I'm almost so scared I can. It's this idea that something outside of you has power over you, and so you're just not going to connect yourself to anything. And the opposite can happen, where you create like very rigid boundaries, right? So sort of like the warrior, which would be empowered victim, has very like flexible but solid boundaries, and you actually require that to create a life that feels authentic to you, right? If you don't ever say, this is what I value, this is what I love, this is what's important to me, this is what I desire, like, that's the energy that instigates creation, right? It's the energy that starts collapsing matter, energy into matter, right? Yeah. And if you're unwilling to do that, you're kind of dead in the water.
Right?
And you're actually just getting, you know, sort of swished around by life.
Dead fish go with the flow. Poor fish.
Yeah. Oh my God. The whole go with the flow thing is like, I'm on a soapbox about that lately. There's this, do you want to say something about it?
It's funny because we're both Libras. Yeah. And the balance scales in the zodiac sign are the only inanimate objects in the whole 12 signs. And for as being a Libra and like, oh, you must be balanced, it's like, no. I have gotten to a place where I'm finding more and more balance. And in the podcast recording that I did prior to this video, I talk about how this is not a subject that I like to touch, because there needs to be a balance to this idea that you can create reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because there must be flow. There has to be flow, but there also must be focus.
Right.
And it's a tricky little water to navigate.
Think about it like this. So think about it like this. I like to think about things as energy, right? I'm like, understand it. We think about the concept of flow, right? If you just take water and like throw it on the ground, is it gonna flow? Like, or does it just sit there? Like water actually needs like a channel in which to flow, a boundary in which to flow. It actually, the more solid that boundary, like no holes, the faster, the better it's gonna flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this idea, the one that we were just talking about, where it's like, oh, if I just don't commit to anything, if I just don't value anything, whatever, I'll just go with the flow and life will. But what you end up doing is being like the water on the ground.
Not sexy.
Not sexy. So it's like we get to create, like we're here to work with constructs, with form and constructs, right? Like to create. In order to create a house architecture, you create a structure. You know what I mean? You create a construct in which to create your design your dream home, right? It's like we're here to play with construct and form limit. It's our artistic medium, right? And if we're not even willing to pick up the paintbrush, then we can't really paint our life in the way that we want. And the way that we create our channels for our water to flow, for our structures in which to build our life, is with the things that are important to us. Right, our values, our desires, our standards, right? Like exacting standards for what you want for your life. And then within that, you build your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can flow. You go with the flow within the framework that you created for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like this is important to me, and I'll flow within this framework, right?
Yeah.
But I'm also not willing to entertain that, and also that's really not important to me. You know what I mean? Like, you can have a negative framework for your life.
Yeah.
You know? It's like you, out of the infiniteness that you are, you get to decide what is and is not important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I love a good metaphor. Can you imagine, like, wanting to build a house, but just being one of those go-with-the-flow people, where it's like, just put the wood right there, don't need a foundation, I'm just going to allow this house to be something that'll shelter me, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
But when we bring it to know thyself, your values, your standards, your preferences,
mm-hmm.
like, all of that goes into play to building that house.
Yep.
I don't want this, I want this.
Yeah.
And to navigate the building and the structure. And your example of the water and the channel,
mm-hmm.
is one of my favorite examples. The first time I heard it, it was around men-women relationships, feminine mm-hmm. and masculine relationships. We all have the feminine and the masculine within mm-hmm. us. But usually we are predominantly one or the other. And the feminine energy is the raging water. It doesn't have to be raging, but you get what I'm saying.
It's fierce.
The masculine energy is the riverbanks.
Yeah.
And when we take away wanting the man or the woman, and you work on yourself to know thyself, and you harness these energies, you know exactly how you want that house to be built. You laid out the plans, and this is how it's going to happen. It feels rigid. And guess what? The universe, the unpredictable world, will do something that will change your plans. This is where the rigidness breaks, and you're allowed to go with the flow. It's like not being thrown off because your plan was detoured.
Right.
That's the balance.
Yeah, the structure is less about the like house, right? How it needs to happen, and more, it's more like a energetic boundary, you know, an energetic structure. And I think that's what you just said. That's like the flowing within your, you know, being, being out, like, it's sort of this understanding, the way that I'm understanding it lately is like, I can formulate all sorts of ideas about how I think and want things to work out. But often I limit my ideas. And there's like a far greater power of me that can see more of the picture, you know, and like through my structure far beyond even my own wildest imagination that are very much fit within the parameters of my values and my desires and my standards, right? That maybe is like far beyond something I even imagined, right? And so oftentimes what that looks like is something not working out, right? Like, oh, I really wanted this to work out and it didn't. And what I've come to understand when something doesn't work out is something greater on the way, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's like the fuck yes.
Yeah.
that is hard to get to because I wanted it to be that way, but it takes years of practice to get to that place where it's like, well, that happened. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
What are some of the stuff that you have practiced and continue to practice in your life that allows you to brings you back to that knowing that something better is happening? I just don't have the details.
I mean, it's just a constant reminder and bringing your power back to center, you know? For me, it's like this fine line that I weave in and out of between, you know, this is my life and I say I get to declare what I value and what I desire and what my standards are. And also this Chandra that I play is not really ultimately who I am, you know? So I might make it mean something about me, but it doesn't really mean anything, you know what I mean? And so it's sort of this like marriage between those perspectives. So it's very paradoxical, you know what I mean? Like, how do you make things better and not make things better at the same time?
Yeah.
But I find the most free for myself in that paradox, you know? Mm-hmm. It allows me to, I'm not always masterful at this, I'm still working on it, right? But to hold that awareness, both of those proves simultaneous. It matters, and it doesn't matter at the same time.
Tails?
Yeah, right?
One of my favorite quotes ever is about how a person that can hold the contradiction in both hands without crumbling is the strongest person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
A quote from one of my favorite...
I haven't heard it said, but something...
I like to change words around, you know, it's my reality, so...
Yeah.
Paraphrasing.
Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite books, one of the greatest love stories ever written, Atlas Shrugged, is... If you ever think you come across a contradiction, check your premises. Mm-hmm. And that's like the way I hold contradiction. I can hold both opposing dichotomies because I know there's actually no contradiction. It just is perceived that way.
Right.
And for me, like the practice of, you know, getting to this place where I'm seeing my reality shift to things that I planted seeds of 10, 11, 12, 13 years ago, is this strong discernment and affirming constantly, like this is like knowing, like this is the script, this is the book of what my life looks like. And just a small example of like just being blown away by this is my partner Katie. Like, we've been praying and writing about each other since we were kids. I like to say that, like, you know, past relationships, I wrote a list and manifested that person. Like, that works. Everybody give it a try. But what happened with Katie was that we literally wrote novels about each other. and would like, we didn't know we were, you know, we didn't know each other back then, but we can look at our writing and just be, feel like we're either reading our own writing or we were writing to each other. And it's one of the most amazing and thrilling things that is the evidence of things hoped for and something not seen. I like to butcher quotes.
I love it. That's such a magical story.
Yeah.
It actually reminds me of Practical Magic. Did you hear that movie?
It's been a while, but I remember that.
Yeah.
That
she writes a very specific spell when she was a little girl for this, the love of her life that she didn't think actually existed. She actually tried to create a man that she didn't think possibly exists because there was this like curse in her family where all the husbands, like the love of their lives, died, right? And so she's like, I'm never falling in love. So she actually created a spell for a man she thought just couldn't possibly exist. Like one green eye, one blue eye, you know, like these very specific qualities. And, mm-hmm. and in her adult life, he ends up showing up. And she told him, you know, she was like, I cast the spell for you, I prayed for you or something. And he was like, I prayed for you too, or I cast the spell for you. When he was little, and then it goes the like clip of him as a little boy, you know, like wishing for her.
Oh my gosh. I have to leave this podcast right now. I'll be back in 2 hours after I watch that. just kidding. Please stay tuned. We're still recording.
Oh yeah.
As promised, we've reached our first moment of intermission around this episode with Chandra Nicole on the topic of reality creation. We do hope that you're having a blast thus far, and I encourage you to take a moment, take a deep breath, clear your mind, and allow some of the thoughts that have inspired you the most thus far to settle and integrate before we get to the second part of our interview, which is a must listen to. I encourage you to take out your notepad, take out your pencil or pen, because there are some gems that will blow you away. I was doing the interview and I make this comment, but I was just blown away with some of the stuff that Chandra's bringing to the table. And feel free to continue listening to the episode just as soon as you're ready. It's about to get really good.
Like, my vision is to live in a world of sovereign gods. A world of sovereign gods. We each are so centered in our own understanding that we get to create our own world, that we are no longer functioning as victims in our life. We no longer believe in victimhood. Where we are sovereign, we are creating from our magical mind, as opposed to our logical minds, right? Mm. We connect to our infinite self, and we're anchored in that. Do you imagine, like when you're in that space, you're literally, everyone else can do whatever they're doing. It doesn't matter because it has no power over you, you know? And other people can believe what they want to believe, they can create what they want to create, they can think, you know, say what they want to say, and it's their own unique expression, and it has, really has a bearing on you. What you can or cannot create world, right? If we were all functioning from that place, totally sovereign, totally tuned in to our infinite nature, totally streaming our own unique, individuated genius in the world, could you imagine what it would be? Unbelievable. Yeah.
Love everywhere.
Yeah.
Luminosity.
Unconditional love.
Yeah.
Which the human has, like, as humans, we have a really hard time understanding what that is, right? We think that love is this, not that.
Mm-hmm.
We like to take unconditional love and divide unconditional love into piles, glorious, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
love is everything, right? Even the what we perceive to be the profane, the wrong, the whatever, you know? All these polarities are part of the story that we're telling.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if we could just get into full acceptance of that, understand that we're not the humans that we think we are. We're gods acting out. Like, this is cinema for the gods, essentially.
Stand up for the gods.
Cinema for the gods. And we don't have to, like, make it mean so much about us, you know, and make it mean so much about others. Just love and accept everyone how they are. In that place, that paradoxical place where suddenly we have power and we can create whatever the hell we want, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm thinking, like, oh, this is so terrible and this is so bad and they shouldn't be doing that. And why are they, you know, like, all the stuff that we do, we cut ourselves off at the knees, handicap ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we severely reduce our power to influence and control our world because we're saying, I'm this, but not that. You have no control of what you think you're not.
Yeah.
Right? So if you know yourself as a sovereign God, all realities exist simultaneously, you know, and you stop filtering yourself to get approval, you stop modulating yourself to get money, you stop, you know, being affected and afflicted by what people are and are not doing, have your power.
Mm-hmm.
You would be streaming just pure genius for you, is what you would do, right? Mm-hmm. And the worlds that we could create, I can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm. One of the commitments that I have is to love in spite of, mm-hmm. because of what you just said, like, people are taking unconditional love and then putting their own little, like, this, but not that.
Right.
So I want to ask you, like, what's your commitment to live that vision that you just described? How do you disrupt others' reality with your reality?
Well, that's never for me.
That's what?
I said that's never the goal for me, to disrupt someone else's reality with my reality, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, my goal is to reclaim all of my power, all the secret ways that I'm practicing dependency, all the ways that I'm shaming myself or others, you know, and just really taking that power back and telling the truth about what's happening. Right? What is that noise?
Oh, you can hear it.
Yeah.
That is the train.
I was like, what is that?
It's one of the perks of living up on top of a hill that overlooks the entire city.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Not trying to brag. This is what it is.
So anyways, I have a process, you know, that I use in my life that I couldn't even explain on this. But I have identified, like, there's like these councils in our, say, in the human psyche. There's a council for survival, baseline human consciousness, survival consciousness, separation consciousness, all works for the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this consciousness has a council, it has voice to it, right? And then there's also an upgraded, evolved council, an evolved operating system that we can switch to as humans, which I call the holy human operating system, which speaks the infinite truth, right? That you are not only, do you not only have a spark of God within you, but you are divinity,
man,
right? There is nothing that has power over you. You are the power source, right? Yeah, and so it's the process of identifying these voices and intentionally upgrading them into the light council, the shadow council, and council, essentially. Okay. And then it takes self awareness.
Sorry, I gotta take a moment. I've never heard that, in the shadow council and the light council. You know, I have a frame of a council. It's like getting all the different people in the bus that are, you know, all the different personalities, and getting them, like, you want the same thing, now we just got to start working together. But the shadow and light council that you just described to me, like, I felt it, I saw it. You are a genius.
Well, and what's crazy is that the shadow concept, it's the same. It's the same stream of power. So, for instance, there's a stream of power. Like, you know Carl Jung, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the architect, right? So there's a stream of power that, like, that's represented by this architect of the saboteur, one of the four main survival archetypes of the human psyche. It's in everybody's psyche, but that's the same voices. We're not different. You know? And the saboteur is like uses its logic to create, right? It's highly intellectual. It knows that there's possibility beyond what it can see, but it tries to utilize its logic to make decisions, to calculate, to computate, to use time. It's like obsessed with time and gathering evidence and proof and all of that stuff, right? Which is a very survival consciousness thing to do. It just is, right? It's this idea that there's things separate, that the only possibilities that exist are here with what you can see, right? So there's that. But that same stream of power, when upgraded from the shadow to the light, becomes the magician. Right, where you become, you start to see yourself as the master of time, the creator of time, right? Able to collapse, expand, play with time. So the shadow archetype is obsessed with time, right? But its understanding of time is vastly different than the understanding of the upgraded evolved version of that. Right, that stream of power. So that's just one example, which I think is so appropriate for this podcast, right? It's all about miracles, and I love talking about switching into your magical mind instead of using your logical mind to create your world, right? But anyways, it's just you actually have to get intimate with these aspects of yourself, these voices, these counsels in your head, right? And understanding them so that you can take your way out of them, right? And upgrade them. You have to sort of listen to them so that you can tell the truth on top of them. Mm. And when you do this, you flip into a whole different operating system, as, right? You're no longer functioning as a human. You're functioning as a god in a human body, right? Like a conscious, lucid dreamer having a human experience, which is the paradox, right? Like we're walking contradiction just by nature of our existence, right? Like we're immortal mortals. What? You know, that's a paradox. You know, that's all.
I'm just taking a seat back because I was like, I don't need to say a darn thing. Like, I am blown away. And it's hard to describe what happens when you just took me on a journey. Uh-huh. And I'm at a little loss for words just because, like, it is so powerful, everything that you're saying. And I'm like getting the visuals and seeing the constructs and structures, and it resonates so much with my soul that I can just step back and really listen to everything that you're saying.
Awesome.
So you just take control of the rest of the episode. It was all yours now. Just, here we go.
I don't also have to say. Anyways, that's the work that I'm doing in my own life and with my clients, you know, the people who come up to work with me. It's so powerful.
Yeah.
So powerful. I honestly have abandoned pretty much all other tools and processes that I was using before. You know, I used to do journaling and affirmations and visualizations, and not that that stuff isn't real or true, but what I was finding for myself was that I was accidentally affirming my counsel, and I didn't even realize it.
Tell me more.
That is strengthening my shadow counselor. So, like, how do I, what's a good example? Okay, so here's a very common spiritual world, right? It's like this whole affirmation, you are worthy, I am worthy, right? I am worthy, mm-hmm. I am worthy, I am worthy. So like when you don't feel worthy, you start affirming, I am worthy, I am worthy.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is, it's like feeling unworthiness is it's a manifestation of something deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a manifest. Usually when you say like, well, why do I need to be worthy in the first place? Right? Why do I feel, first of all, what does that mean to me? And mm-hmm. why do I feel like I need to be worthy? Right? Usually if you, well, because whatever, it could be many things for many people, but usually what you'll get more of is if, like, I have all these ideas of what I have to be in order to be worthy, and if I'm not these things, then I'm going to get rejected by the human tribe, I'm not going to make money, I'm not going to, like, all rooted in survival consciousness, right? And so what I found is that getting to that core sort of the place where I assumed that I was separate from my world mm-hmm. and thought that I needed to get approval or love or money or from my world, that's where the up happens. That's where I can tell the truth and be like, I'm just, whatever, I'm actually not worth anything. I'm priceless. Right? Worth is actually like, worth is a man-made concept.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like the way that we computate and divide and declare that this is worthy, and this is not worthy, this is not valued, right? So it's like I'm actually inherently not worth anything, like kind of like a piece of priceless art, right? Like art that sells for gajillions of dollars is just like something slapped on a piece of paper, canvas, right? Like in and of itself, it's not worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like $3, $10 art supplies, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like inherently it's not worthy, but it's priceless.
Yeah.
Has no worth, but it's priceless, right? And so anyways, there's just like these ways that we sort of affirm our, these human concepts that are symbolic of our perceived separation between ourselves and what we want and our world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have to affirm that I'm worthy. I just am.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm priceless, right?
So here's the thing. Like this, I feel like there's a stair step. Mm-hmm. Somebody that has never felt worthy first needs to learn how to feel worthy. Because if they skip ahead to, at least from my perception, if you skip ahead to the God mode and how you are intrinsically valuable and you can't put a price and worthiness is not even a concept, then you're crazy. And there's nothing wrong with being crazy as long as like you're solid and
mm-hmm.
you're not telling people to jump off bridges with, anyway.
No, it's totally true. You bring up a very good point. It's like, I just did a live stream about this recently. It was called In order to break the rules, you have to master the master. Right? So like, let's see, how do I want to say this? So yes, you are correct. Mostly we cannot just skip past the God mode. We have to sort of master what's before, right? And then you can get to that point. What that would look like would be identifying all the ways for making your worthiness dependent on something outside of you, something you create, something you say, something you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
and telling the truth on that, you know, and you do that in action, bite, sort of, right? Yeah.
You keep bringing up truth. And I remember 10 years ago when I started working on the affirmations and really, you know, creating affirmations on steroids, I did not like using the word affirmation or incantations because I felt that they were truths. And if you get to know thyself enough to be able to verbalize it, it is no longer me trying to make something that I feel isn't true.
Right.
You know, it's like I don't worry about worthiness. I play the human game. I know that I'm energy and I am divinity itself, expressing itself in this 3D hologram, whatever we want to say about what this is. But the fact of the matter is that I am consciousness right now, and I have the ability to learn and become more aware and expand. But, and at the end of the day, like, that knowingness, that truth exists. So I honor you for the work that you're doing, because the truth is right up there with freedom.
Yeah.
True freedom.
Yeah. Well, and it's the conversation about truth is an interesting conversation, you know, because all truths are true. All truths get to
be truth is true.
And that is the ultimate truth, really. The ultimate truth is that all truths get to be true. And you actually, it's almost like in knowing that and in telling that truth, like the only way that all truths would get to be true, the only way that that's even possible is if we're all each creating our own world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because otherwise there wouldn't be that free will. There wouldn't be, like, nothing in your world happens outside of your own creation. Just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's a hard, like, I don't even understand it. Like, how is that possible? How do all realities exist simultaneously, right? But it has to, in order for truth to be true, right?
Mm-hmm.
All truths get to be true. And so we can create whatever, like, you can create the truth that you're not the creator of and experience that as truth,
mm-hmm.
right? The truth that I'm interested in for myself, if that feels like freedom, if I'm responsible for my world and I'm the power source of my world, right? And right here. And in doing so, it's really weird because in doing so, you know your oneness with your world, right? No separation between you and your world. That's the oneness that we're always talking about. Understand. And paradoxically, the more you know your oneness with your world, the more, in Carl Jung talks about, the more individuated you actually become.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're no longer modulating yourself. You're just pure channel for divinity. Right? The unique expression that you dreamt yourself to be, right? So it's like the more you claim your power, the more you know you're one with the world, the more individual you become.
Mm-hmm.
The more individual you become, paradoxically.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the Einstein quote that whether you believe that life is miraculous or whether you believe that life is mundane, again, I'm paraphrasing and completely butchering the quote, that is what you will experience.
Mm-hmm.
In the same fashion, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't,
mm-hmm.
you're right. You know, and these are trite quotes that we've heard since we were kids that basically tell us everything you just said.
Yep.
How long does it take us to get the point? As long as it takes.
As long as it takes. As long as it takes. Yeah, it's like the like reality, creation, whatever. It's like the principles of reality creation are really quite simple.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, we're dynamic beings, you know, multifaceted dynamic beings. And so the application of these very simple principles oftentimes feels much more complex. You know, it's weird. Have you ever noticed that, like a saying like that, like you just presented, it's like there's like layers of deeper into it, you know? So you can read the same book or hear the same thing and be like, oh, this is blowing my mind. This is wild, right? And then you set it down and come back to it like a year later and you read it again. You're like, what? Is this a different book? I didn't get this message last time, right? Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I've been with content over the years, and each time I get something like a deeper understanding about it, you know, about this like very simple. Well,
mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think of this phrase? # my world takes care of me. Is that putting power out there, or is it keeping it in here?
It depends on the energy you're coming from. So you could be in this is how I talk about it, usually, this exact thing. It's like there's entitlements. So like think about like the shadow archetype, creation archetype, and there's entitlement, right? So there's entitlement, which is sort of like the child. This is an archetype. There's the entitlement of the child. The child doesn't actually feel capable of, it doesn't feel responsible for its own well-being. It doesn't feel capable of taking care of itself, right? So it's sort of, it's almost like spoiled brat energy, demanding my world take care of me. Mm-hmm. The princess, right? Take care of me. It's demand. Stomping my feet, demand. And then the evolved version of that is the sovereign, the queen, king, right? Who understands that my world is an expression of me, my world responds to me, and you evolve from demands to command. Right? Wow. Which is a very inward out motion. Like, obviously, everything's always working out in my world. Obviously, my world is taking care of me because I'm the creator of the world, right? Mm-hmm. As a person, I don't believe I can create my world. I don't believe that I'm responsible for my own well-being. I demand that my world take care of me. Right? So that's the difference. Demands, command. Entitlement. So like the king, like obviously a sovereign king position, you're like, yeah, I get to have whatever I want. This is my queendom, right? But it comes from a very different energetic, you know, it's a very different.
Even when you just described that, I felt the energy of that entitlement up here, where I imagine the king, like, seeing something being perceived as wrong, but not being shook, because my world takes care of me. That's supposed to happen. It's like taking ownership and responsibility, and also changing the narrative as it happens. And I was going to try not to do this, but I have to, because something just came to mind. And that's the archetype of Thor.
Okay.
Thor, from the Marvel Cinematic Universe or Norse mythology, is a stubborn man on a mission. He's the rightful king of Asgard, but he turns away from it so that he can take care of Midgard, which is Earth. Like, that is where his heart is. And on his journey, like, things keep going wrong, and he thinks that he needs to avoid this thing called Ragnarok, which is the death of the gods. And when he realizes that that's not going to be the case, he actually changes the narrative and says, oh, I wasn't supposed to stop Ragnarok. We're supposed to cause it. Changing the mission and like taking that ownership, where it's like that can be delusional and also still keeping the power outside of you. But I feel like there's also that sovereignty of realizing that, okay, things are shifting and changing. How can I make this work for not just my advantage, but my kingdom's advantage? Mm-hmm. And having a strong message and heart behind it, because that's what I see when I look at that particular archetype.
Yeah, totally. It's like, like being unfuckwithable isn't about nothing going on in your world at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the ability to recontextualize, you know,
yeah,
in a way that it doesn't move you, sway you emotionally, right?
Mm-hmm. Chandra, this could go on and on and on, and we shall do many more sagas with conversations like this. As this is the first time I'm doing this with you, I'm getting a little, like, symbol. I feel like a celebrity. It's like, oh, you only got 1 minute and 20 seconds left before it turns off by itself. Before we go to commercial, I would love to hear, where can people find you? How can we get more Chandra in our lives?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm on the Instagram, I'm on the Facebook, I have a website, shamfickle.com. That's where you can find me.
Simple. Easy.
Super simple.
All right, well, I'm going to follow up with you right after this and just wrap this up. Thank you so much for joining me and taking the time out of your day all the way on the other side of the world. I really appreciate you. And I look forward to more miracles and reality creation. And just, you are a role model, and I love role models in the world. I don't care if you see yourself that way. What you're doing ripples out and makes a difference to consciousness. So.
So there you have it, folks. Your own special episode of Wake Up and Smell the Miracles with none other than the great Chandra Nicole. Please go to Instagram and follow her. Check out her content at Chandra Nicole. Find her on Facebook. She is a leader of people, men and women, who are breaking through when they work with her, when they explore her content. And she holds safe containers for people in private groups on Facebook. So if you're so called, please visit her website at Chandra Nicole. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am your ever grateful host. I would love to spend more time with you and dissect some of the stuff we just heard, but I will let you go. The time has come. So, as I am Jonathan Navi, your ever grateful host, always reminding you that a miracle is not an exception to the rule, but the natural order of things. When miracles don't happen, that's the exception. Allow yourself to begin to realize that you are miraculous. You are magical. Nothing is too good to be true. Nothing. Zero. Zip. It's all true, and it's all for you. And if you look around, you'll see more evidence of how you're not alone, and there are far more miraculous and magical people out there, just like you, waiting to lock arms, waiting to collaborate, ready to get it done. I'll catch you next time on Wake Up and Smell the Miracles. This is Jonathan Eleazar Navi, and I just want to thank you for tuning in and showing up for yourself. Every time you tune into the Wake Up and Smell the Miracles podcast, the messages are for you, and the impact is what you do with those messages and how you integrate them within yourself. If you feel that this podcast has brought value to you or could bring value to somebody that you love and care about, please send them to our Instagram page, Wake Up and Smell the Miracles. You can also find us at Luminous Navigation and for a roundtable for men to be seen, heard, understood, and to break through what new possibilities could look like. You can also find us at the Leading Man Initiative on Instagram. Feel free to send this episode or any of your favorite Wake Up episodes to anyone that you feel could benefit from the messages here. Remember to BYOM, bring your own magic. Until next time, have a phenomenal day.